Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Halen, Ryan Elke, Anthony Bellino, all joining you. Joining us now on the Meijer Supercenter guest line, covering the Detroit Lions for Sports Illustrated's All Lions coverage and the Lion Lowdown. Our good friend Logan Lamorandeer. Find him on Twitter at LLamorandeer. Logan, my man, first and foremost, thanks for taking the time to join us. How are you? How's life? How are things?
Of course. Life is busy. The Lions are, we're in full tank mode right now. At least that's the mindset I'm taking. But yeah, other than that, everything's great.
We are in full-blown tank mode. Let's, before we get into whatever in the world is going to happen this coming Sunday when the Detroit Lions have to travel west and go see their former buddy Matthew Stafford and the LA Rams. Let's talk about that game against Cincinnati, because if you're looking at the schedule and you thought to yourself, where are some games that this team might be able to win? I think you circled Cincinnati. I think you circled Philadelphia as those being, you know, two. And then Cincinnati comes in and just, I mean, basically blows the doors, you know, off the Lions. And I don't want to say that because the second half and the first half were two very different tales on the defensive side of the football. But for me, it's like if the defense can hold Joe Burrow and company to 10 points at halftime, they're on pace for 20 for the game. You've got to be able to win that. And your defense gets worn down in the second half because they spent the whole damn game on the field. I mean, the offense was just, it was just terrible on Sunday.
Right, and I think he even asked me, probably after week three, when we saw a win, and I circled Cincinnati as, yeah, the first one, and it was the exact opposite of that, coming after a strong week, there, you know, even against Baltimore, there was a couple good games, and I just felt like the Lions put it together, Cincinnati could have been a winnable game, but it was the exact opposite of that, and injuries haven't helped at all either, but yeah, it was a pretty brutal game overall, especially offensively. You know, looking at the past 4 weeks now, where the Lions in the first half have only scored a total of 6 points. It's just the offense is getting to the point where it's, you know, you have to give the defense credit. I don't think the defense hasn't been good, but it hasn't been as bad as the offense has been recent weeks either.
Yeah, you're
talking about garbage time stats. Like, that's the perfect example right now of where it's been the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, I'm absolutely on the same exact page with you. And I thought, you know, for the first drive to take three plays, go minus 6 yards and eat 2 minutes and 14 seconds of clock. And the second drive, three plays, 7 yards, took up 2 minutes and 4 seconds. And the third drive, there's a pick there. It's two plays. They lose 10 yards. 23 total seconds. Like, your defense is out there the entire time. They get a turnover, they get the interception, and then, you know, your offense turns it right back over. That, like, it was the exact opposite. When you hear the term complementary football, this, like, that was not it. Like, that was one-sided, about as one-sided as it can get. And I've actually been pretty impressed with the way that the defense has played for most of this season, all things considered. You know, you lose Okuda, you lose Melon Fonwu, two big names, you know, right off the bat. You know, you've been juggling the lineup up front on the defensive line and linebacker trying to work some things in. Derek Barnes having a pretty good game. Jerry Jacobs, I mean, there's a name. I mean, how about his coverage on Ja'Marr Chase? Thought he did a really good job for the first half hour of that football game. But, I mean, if you're always out there and your offense can't sustain a drive, can't put any pressure on the other team, can't score any points, you're not going to win any football games.
No, and it's been tough, and I think that was one of the bright spots. Is I think a lot of the rookies really showed up and played well, and that's what I'm mainly paying attention to at this point, is just guys for the future. And you mentioned Jerry Jacobs, who I thought played well for the most part, and he was put in some difficult situations, and Ja'Marr Chase, who was the number 5 overall draft pick this year for a reason, beat him a couple times, and that's when he was just one-on-one in coverage. And whenever you see that single high safety, you know, cover one look where they're kind of alone on the outside and deep routes, the Lions have kind of been burned at that quite a bit. So overall, yeah, it's like Jerry Jacobs, he's an undrafted free agent. And for the most part, before the season even started, him and A.J. Parker, I just completely written off. But considering the fact that they're even getting playing time right now and actually playing meaningful snaps, and yeah, it might be due to just a depth issue and injury issue, but at the same time, I still think they're holding their own for the most part, but it's really tough on this defense. The defense is lacking talent, but when the offense isn't doing anything, it just puts more pressure on the defense. And I think the defense has played all right, all things considered, because my expectations in recent weeks have been pretty low for them, but they've done all right. And it's actually been the offense that has just completely tanked. And I just would assume they would be able to be a little bit better. And it's not until late in games or until they're completely out of it, I feel like, or late in the fourth quarter, where they're starting to put up stats that make it semi-reasonable. So it's, yeah, it was a tough last week, that's for sure.
You know, and Logan, I want to, you know, I try to stay as positive as possible, but I think that anybody looking at this situation realistically, you look at this team and, you know, they fought back against the 49ers and some people thought that was fool's gold. And then they go on the road to Green Bay and they played really well in the first half and carried a lead and squandered it in the second. You lose to the Ravens and the Vikings by an identical score on last second field goals that just happened to be one of them was the longest in NFL history. The other one was a career long for that kicker. The Bears game, you know, you turn it over three times inside, you know, in the red zone or two times inside the red zone and fail on a fourth down. Like, it's just, I think that there were individual plays we could look at and draw some real positives from, and I just felt like last week against the Bengals was a monumental step back, especially with the daunting task ahead that is this Sunday.
For sure, and even Dan Campbell, his presser after the game, you could tell he was pretty upset with just the way they played overall, and especially considering you mentioned all those games where the Lions were, they were at least in the game, and Cincinnati, it's not a great team by any means. They have some talent. They're also kind of in rebuilding mode, and they have pieces in place, some really nice young pieces. But you still think that the Lions could compete a little bit better than they did. And that was just, it was overall just a tough game to watch, because after the third quarter, it was just like, all right, let's, for the first time really this season, it was really like, let's just get this game over with. And you just wouldn't assume that against the Bengals, that they were going to be the ones to do that to you when you look at all the prior teams the Lions face on the schedule.
Yeah, it's not looking good. I'm fearful of this weekend. I really believe that this could be somewhat of a historical week if you look at Matthew Stafford. And I know that, you know, he hasn't said anything about Detroit, and that's fine. You know, people have asked him about it in different interviews. He hasn't said boo. He said, I'm here now, and that's that, and I'm not, you know, worried about anything else, and, oh, this is just another NFL team visiting, you know, our stadium. I don't know, man. I got that feeling that this could be historical for Stafford. Been talking about it now for a couple weeks where, you know, maybe he throws for 5 touchdowns and 500 yards. Like, I don't think that that's outside the realm of possibilities here. Like, he might not intentionally do it, but Sean McVay might do it for him.
Right, and in the back of my mind, I keep thinking that the Rams are going to be controlling this game the entire game, so they might not need to really pull out all the stops and really put the foot on the gas and go for the yardage. But you saw last week the Rams, what they did to the Giants. I was still surprised that the Rams still had all their personnel and top guys out there against the Giants when they had such a big lead. And I could see McVay doing the same to the Lions. And honestly, I'm sure Stafford has in the back of his head that he wants to do that against his former team. It's not like the Lions were the ones to ship Stafford off, but at the same time, Stafford wants to just, I could see him totally wanting to prove himself to Lions fans and any doubters he had in Detroit. So like, hey, this is what you had, and you blew it. So I'm hoping it doesn't come to that, because it would be only the Lions, you know, where it happened, where Stafford comes back and has just a career day. And, of course, against his former team in the first year that he's outside of Detroit. But I could easily see it happening. The Rams' offense is just clicking. Stafford, you know, coming in over Goff, it's been such an upgrade for them. That offense looks completely different. It looks like the 2018 Rams offense that they had. And it's tough to – I find myself every week, I try not to mention Stafford. This is the perfect week, though, to talk about Stafford, because he's playing the Lions and he's just been looking like everything I always thought he was. And we've had this debate for how long now about Stafford. The whole 12 years he was in Detroit was always like, is Stafford the guy? Is he not? And he sure looks like he's everything I thought he was and what he would be on a different team. And it's kind of a, you know, disappointing realization that, yeah, this is what Stafford looks like on a team that's actually competent.
Yeah, and it Matthew Stafford and company. I mean, this Rams team, unless you live under a rock, I mean, most people know that they are 5-1. They've beaten the Bears, they've beaten the Colts, they beat the Buccaneers, they lost to the Cardinals and lost bad. They looked bad in that football game, but they came right back and took a trip up to Seattle. They beat the Seahawks, then they beat the Giants, and you start looking at the rest of their schedule, and this Rams team, I mean, this could be a team that goes 14-3 or 13-4, something along those lines. I mean, they've got it all set up for them very nicely with only a couple of big games. Maybe that game against Tennessee, divisional game against San Francisco, Green Bay. I think you circle them, a rematch with the Cardinals and then the Ravens. And it's like, yeah, this team can, that draft pick is going to, it's not going to be as good. I mean, it's still going to be a first rounder, but it's not going to be as good as what maybe some people had hoped for. When you look at Jared Goff, I think the biggest question that many people want to know is how in the world, Where did the Jared Goff go from that Kansas City game a couple years back where both teams scored in the 50s and it was back and forth and back and forth? Like, I don't understand what in the world happened to Jared Goff and whatever took place between him and Sean McVay. Like, what happened to that guy?
I think a lot of it had to do with teams started figuring out Goff's weakness, and his weaknesses are pretty apparent. And when he doesn't have a running game and he can't be balanced and teams don't have to respect the run game. And it's not like the Lions, they have a good run game, but for the most part, they're just not in games where teams are worried about the run game at that point. And it's, you know, a lot is put on his shoulders. And you look at the receiving core he's working with right now, and it's hands down just the worst in the league in Detroit. You know, the injuries have really taken their toll, which has been rough. And it wasn't a good position group to start with. And you take out the running game and they're asking Goff to push the ball down the field. And I don't even know if they are or not. That's the weird thing, because like every third down, it's 3rd and 7 and Goff passing at 3 yards. But I think we really saw the last couple of years what kind of quarterback Goff was when, teams start to figure him out a little bit. So it's just, I didn't have high expectations for Goff coming into this year, because I feel like, you know, how many years he's been in the league, we kind of know what he was, and 2018 was a great year, but he had everything working for him. They had the defense, they had a run game, they had Sean McVay, who was still fresh, and teams didn't really know how to stop it yet. And at this point, I just think it's teams know what Goff is, and they know his strengths and weaknesses, and they play accordingly. And without the running game, or at least out the threat of the Lions running the football, because they haven't somehow the Lions still haven't had an offensive drive yet where they're actually leading. It's always either been tied or they're losing. Like, that's just not a good situation for Goff. And he hasn't been nearly as accurate as I thought he would be. And even though he hasn't been working with great talent around him, he's still missing open receivers. He's still not reading defenses properly at times when he has open players that could make big plays, and he's missing them. It's everything right now for Goff, and it's not a good look. You hear the David Blau, it's always the backup quarterback in Detroit that is a fan favorite, and David Blau, I keep seeing his name frequently come up now in social media, and it's only been 6 weeks now for Jared Goff in Detroit.
And a lot of people might wonder, as we are, you know, when you think about Jared Goff, and it was moving from 2017 to 2018, 13 weeks in to his second year, and his completion percentage had jumped up to about 62% from below 55%. He went from 5 touchdowns and 7 picks in his rookie campaign to 18 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. And that's when Chris Sims, you know, was talking on Pro Football Talk Live and said it was unethical and it was cheating what Sean McVay and company were doing, because they were rushing to the line of scrimmage so that Sean McVay and the offensive staff could take a look at the defense and stay in Jared Goff's ear as much as possible before the communications were cut off. So I think that it's an old article. It was in the Washington Post and SB Nation. I mean, everybody had kind of covered it from LA side of things, but it's something that, it might rear its ugly head again, just from the way that, there's a difference here in coaching staffs, and, a lot is being put on his shoulders. It doesn't help that the strength of this team, the offensive line, is being shuffled around consistently because of, the injuries and everything else that's taking place. But, that missed pass to TJ Hockenson, throwing it away on 4th and 4, like, stuff like that can't happen at the NFL level. Like, the margin for error is way too thin.
It really is. And you look at that 4th and 4 when he threw the ball away. not only was that a mistake, like just throwing the ball away, he knew there was a penalty, but on fourth down, it's not going to do any good. They're just going to decline it. He missed Swift, who was pretty much wide open. And you look at his drop back, even in that play too, where it was just, it didn't make any sense why he was dropping so far back. And I know Penei Sewell got called for holding on that penalty, but Jared Goff had a clean pocket to step up into, and Goff just stood at 7 yards, not stepping up into the pocket. And I think that was a big reason that there was a hold on that play. And there's, you can go through every single play, and there's just a lot going on with Goff. And I've been mentioning too, that same article that you mentioned about Goff, where it was almost like a college scheme where they would just do a no huddle offense so McVay could be in his ear a little longer while he was with the Rams to kind of guide Jared Goff of what was being seen and kind of go over the defense really quick. Typically that time is used to call plays, but they were with Goff, McVay was calling him plays immediately and then trying to get them up to the line so he could make plays or make the calls for him and tell him what's going on. And that's something that's really difficult to gauge because we're not given all the information on what's going on in the headset and what's going on after the plays or after that, you know, the headset is cut off where it's just Goff on its own. And it's really tough to watch right now because I do feel like Goff is missing just a lot of open receivers or not reading the defense properly or just having issues. And he doesn't have a lot of help. The offensive line, which is supposed to be the strength, is injured. So there's just a lot of things going wrong for Goff right now. But I think if Goff was a true guy that you could count on as the quarterback of the future, these things still wouldn't be happening. At this point in Goff's career, it's just like he kind of is what he is. Sometimes you just don't get over that hump that's holding you back, and the weaknesses don't ever correct themselves. It's just a weakness at this point, and teams know that.
Last one here for you, Logan, and we've been kicking around this question from Justin Rogers. He was the one that originally tweeted it out, but how many points would you need the Lions to get in order to take the Honolulu Blue and Silver on Sunday? You had to be a betting man. How many points would you need to bet them?
Oh, I think probably...
My boy Gian said 25.
I was just about to say, it sounds like... Oh, I would say 20. And that even that sounds crazy, but just the way the offense has been playing, like there's no confidence. I have no confidence right now in the offense, and the defense going up against this Rams offense is just such a mismatch. I think 20 points is a ton of points in the NFL, but just looking at recent history, it's like I wouldn't feel comfortable at all betting on the game anywhere under 20 points.
He is Logan Lammerandeer. Find him on Twitter. Easy for me to say. At L Lammerandeer. Logan, my friend, as always, studio audience, they love you. We love you, too. Thank you so much for your time today, my man. Have a great week, and we'll talk next week and see whatever happens on Sunday. We'll have a chance to break it down.
Yeah, appreciate it. Talk next week.